Drex on the next generation of KGO. A10.
You're listening to the Drex Radio Show live and local in the Bay and around the world as the, on KGO and the app, but as the sun goes down all over the Western United States. And Lisa R. Durden is my guest, and we're talking about the police shootings that have happened in the last 48, 72 hours. And we're going to start with the Minnesota governor saying that race was a factor in that fatal police shooting in Minneapolis.
So I'm heartbroken for Minnesota. Because, I've heard in the last few hours from very distinguished African-American men and women who have recounted to me how they've been pulled over, singled out, and treated very differently because of their race from how white Minnesotans expect to be covered. Would this have happened if those passengers, the driver and the passenger, were white? I don't think it would have. So I'm forced to confront, and I think all of us in Minnesota are forced to confront, that this kind of racism exists, and that it's incumbent upon all of us to vow that we're going to do whatever we can to see that it doesn't happen, it doesn't continue to happen.
All right, and we go back to the phones, and we will
at least somebody has some good sense.
Yes, and you know what? There's a lot to be said for that governor. Good for him, for Mark Dayton,
absolutely.
Because he took to that podium immediately today, and I thought
absolutely.
That was very good. And you know what? I knew that if you saw him do this, you knew he was uncomfortable, but he did the right thing.
Well, because he's going to get this. I don't know. I haven't. When a white person who is a human being, and many of them are, because if they weren't, we'd still be enslaved. If it weren't for white people who are human beings, forget the race of the person. And like the mayor, like the president said, I said it earlier in the conversation. At the end of the day, doesn't that image bother you? So like this man couldn't look at that image and not say what he said today. Even being a white man, that would be un-American. So this man had to go there, and he was afraid because I'm sure he's getting death threats. I'm sure people are calling him a nigger lover. People still use that phrase, not as publicly as they did in the past. Oh, but he's being called a nigger lover. So this man took, that's what you call leadership, right? Like the police officers, your job is to protect me. This man's job is to speak truthfully about things that happen in his state, whether it be this incident or any other kind of incident. And he manned up and did it. It was very apropos, and it was very correct and factual. This is racism. So don't call this phone, you're welcome to do so, and say I'm a racist. I've never done anything racist to anyone, because
right.
I don't hold the power to do so.
All right,
I
Scott,
don't own the country.
Scott in Castro Valley, you're on the Drex Radio Show on KGO. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think everyone is lumping these two shootings together as the same thing, and they are completely separate incidents.
They are different,
and
yes.
They have to be treated as such. In the one in Minnesota, I don't know what happened, okay? The video shows afterwards. We don't know what happened. Maybe she's telling the truth. Maybe the cop is, I'm not going to choose sides until an investigation is done. The one in Baton Rouge, here we have a criminal standing on a street corner with a gun in his pocket. The police encounter him, give him orders to get on the ground. He does not comply. One of the officers tackles him. They get him on the ground, and at this point, he's still not complying. Until the cops are on, the fight is still on. He's got a gun in his pocket. Fighting with someone on the ground is not an easy thing to do, okay? And we're just saying, they assassinated him. Here's a criminal with a gun in his pocket. He is still a threat until the cuffs are put on and the gun is removed. I can't believe you call these officers assassinating him. That's ridiculous.
What criminal activity was he performing?
He was selling illegally copied CDs and DVDs.
Yes, but you know what?
Oh
they're very familiar with.
God,
by the way, he had permission from that store owner to sell the CDs out front, and he's been doing it for a long time.
Listen. Let me just say,
the gun in his pocket.
No. See, you're changing up the game. Listen. In this country, if you ever commit a crime and you do your time, you're no longer in criminal activity. So don't bring up his rap sheet, homie. Let me just tell you something. If this man's selling of DVD, oh, my God, Drex, he was selling CDs. We're all in danger. We're going to die because he was selling effing CDs. Boy, sit down somewhere. You need to take several seats and sit down. Shut your mouth. You sound like an idiot. Stop yourself before you look too stupid. Your mother's not going to like it.
All right, thank you. I'm going to move on. We have so many calls, as you can imagine. Bill in San Francisco, you're on next. You're on KGO.
Ooh, he's selling CDs. Ooh, that's dangerous.
Wait a second. I have the wrong line here. I know that everybody's been waiting forever. We are packed, people. Let me see. Let me try this again and see if I can get it right. Bill in San Francisco, there you are. Okay, Bill.
Hi. Hey, how's it going? So I hate to make my point in a roundabout way, but I got to use a metaphor to because it's going to be instructive in making my point. So imagine you are in a relationship, and you are the one who wants to stay in the relationship and the other doesn't. And every time you you get into an argument, you are the one that usually, you know, gives up, or you have to make some of the sort of an amend. And the reason is because you're always arguing from a point of weakness, right? Does that make sense?
I'm listening.
Okay, so the point that I'm trying to make is, as African Americans, we have no leverage in this society unless we get into positions of authority, or we do have some sort of say in terms of business, in terms of money, or in terms of votes.
Right.
We are 14% of the American population.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but we are severely underrepresented in positions of power.
Correct.
And in positions of business and money. So we're always arguing from a position of weakness.
Correct.
So the other party, although they might, you know, we're always at the mercy we're always at their mercy that they're going to somehow understand what we're going through. So we're always arguing from a position of weakness.
Correct.
So the only way any meaningful change is going to come in this country, as far as the lives of African Americans is concerned, is if we figure a way out to have some kind of power and say.
All right. Okay. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
I agree. I agree 100%.
Okay. Let's see here. Let's go to Tina in San Jose. You're on the Drex Radio Show with Lisa Durden.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
Hey, you know, I've got a thought here, guys. Watching all of these murders that have taken place over the last year, you know, a lot of them look as if these officers are playing their video games on the street with human lives. I've seen it again and again, and it just is really, I think it's kind of chilling myself.
Yeah, I don't know how you can look at the one in Baton Rouge and not be horrified.
Not that one. No. Oh. I was more than horrified. I jumped up out of my seat. It was so horrific.
Yeah. And then don't forget about Mario Woods here in the city of San Francisco. I mean, it's just nonstop. Let me see. By the way, that doesn't mean, let's make this very clear. Nobody here is saying that all police officers are bad. So
now,
I'm seeing the tweets at Generation Drex that no one's saying
retweet those and add me into the retweet. Listen, nobody is saying that all cops are bad. Nobody's saying that all whites are racist. We're talking about the specific situations at the particular moments that they're happening. And if individuals want to put blinders on because they feel, as we say, some type of way because, okay, are you guys angry because I'm saying white racist and that's what's blowing your brain out? Or should I just say racist? Or should I not say it at all? Like, why do you want to hide behind that? You can't handle the truth? So if you are not willing to handle the truth, then it's going to repeat itself. That's why it's continuing to go on. Nobody is demanding and commanding that these individuals take responsibility for their actions, and the next batch of cops, who's ever the bad apple inside that batch of new cops, will think twice about doing it.
All right, I have to take a break, and we'll be back. And we had a great call, but it dropped, and this person's right on. The U.S. is at a tipping point, a.k.a. Almost almost like JFK back in the day. All right, we'll talk about that in a minute with Lisa Durden. Don't go away. You're listening to the Drex Radio Show. Lots going on, including breaking news that we have three DART transit officers shot in the city of Dallas during a Black Lives Matter demonstration, demonstrating these two shootings that have happened over the past couple days. More coming up, but first, with a look at traffic, here's Lee Graham.
KGO 810.
Okay, we're talking about the shootings in Minnesota and Baton Rouge, and also breaking news now that several police officers have been shot at a protest. Three Dallas Transit police officers were shot at a protest, a demonstration about these two other shootings in the city of Dallas. So not a good thing. Not a good thing.
I want to ask all the white people who are listening to this conversation, whether you're racist or not, you may not even know if you're racist, but just listening. Tell me something. Call and answer this question. If the tables were turned and there were three or four big, burly black cops bashing this person and throwing the white man to the ground, smashing the person, shooting him in their back with bullets, three or four black cops beating a white man in the street in your neighborhood, and you saw a video like that, not only, you may not think he's a racist because I guess blacks are not generally in positions to act on racism, but those cops would have been hanged, not literally, figuratively. Tell me that that wouldn't have happened. Tell me that you would not have made sure these cops, if they were black, beating your white son in the street and shooting the person in the back three or four times, that you would have made sure that his ass was locked up and maybe burned and fried in the electric chair. And if the governor of your state didn't do that and pull the lever, you would vote his ass out of there. Tell me you would have liked to have seen that in the reverse position. Whether it was your child or the neighbor's child, just tell me how that visual would have looked to you.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Ken in Hayward, you're on the Drex Radio Show on KGO.
Hi, Drex, and hi, Ms. Durgan. The one thing I want to bring up, in contrast to one of the earlier callers who said we need to take a step back and figure out what happened in Minnesota, I would disagree. We know that he had a concealed carry permit or license.
Yes.
And as somebody who's an advocate of the Second Amendment, I know, and I read the FBI statistics, somebody who has gone through the licensing process is very unlikely, to the point of this, there's no statistic that says how many concealed carry holders actually commit crime, because they don't. So with that statistic in mind, whether he be black or white, it is very unlikely he escalated a situation where the cop would have had to shoot him.
Wait, so, can we? Yeah, oh, go ahead.
No, I agree with him because he's right because he would have been very well vetted in order to get the license. Yes.
If you are a criminal, I mean, I don't know if they mean something small like you stole candy at 16, but if you were a person that was that had ever committed any kind of real dangerous crime, you're not getting a license to carry a concealed weapon. That's not happening, boo-boo, even in states where the Second Amendment is a little loose. So this wouldn't have happened. So this man was no criminal. Stop playing games. Can you people, and I mean you people, if the shoe fits, wear it. If it don't fit, then you must acquit. If you feel that this black man brought on his own murder, then I really can't do anything for you. It's just like Toni Morrison said in an old clip from 1,000 years ago when Charlie Rose was interviewing her about racism. And, of course, it still applies today. Somebody reposted it from 1,000 years ago. And she said, you know what? There's no issue with us. But when you are a white person and you do these kinds of things and you think it's okay, I feel sorry for you because there's an illness within you. There's not a problem within me. There's an illness within you. If anybody out there white can look at what happened to that man or any of these nearly 500 cases over the last 6 months, but this is just the recent one, and think that there's anything that this man did to deserve four bullets in his back, then you have an illness. I don't know what it is, but you need to be diagnosed. I don't know what that is. You're sick.
Okay, let's go back to the phones. Lisa Durden is my guest. We go to Jack in Oceanside. You're on KGO.
Well, I have a comment to make, but first I'm going to try to answer your guest's question. My wife and I are a big fan of Cops. It's a TV show. And my observation of police is they treat everybody harshly, and they use excessive force all the time. I see them use excessive force on white people and black people. It's just, I don't know, it seems to be their nature. But my comment, and I'll try to make it a question for your guest, is I've always found it interesting that basically white people have taken advantage of the Second Amendment and formed armed militia groups. And I've always wondered why black people haven't taken advantage of the Second Amendment and formed armed militia groups. I almost think they need to for their own protection.
Wow.
I like this dude.
Okay.
I like
all
this
right.
Dude.
Thank you. Very interesting.
I'll answer that.
Well, would that be Black Panthers?
Yeah. First of all, when we tried to do that with the Black Panthers, only to protect ourselves if you people, meaning whoever the racists are, tried to come across that line that they drew, the invisible line, to say if you're harming us for any reason, if you're going to try to abuse us for any reason, we will shoot you. What happens? They called it a hate group. They compared it to the KKK. Nobody in the Black Panthers ever hung nobody white, never shot nobody white, never locked you out of a job because you were white, never raped your daughter because she was white, never hung you from a tree, never did anything to you because you were white. They were just there to protect us against harm. But yet we were called the same thing as the KKK. The KKK is a hate group hanging black people, stringing us up, burning crosses in front of a house. There's no Black Panther in the history of that group that ever burned a cross in front of anybody's house. So to compare them to the KKK tells me where you stand. So yes, we have tried that before, and look what, I mean, they didn't disband because of that. They still moved on no matter what you thought of them. But the point is, they get the bad press for protecting themselves. So you see how white privilege is. The lovely guest has such white privilege. He doesn't know that we can't do that.
That's
what white privilege is about.
Lisa in Gilroy, you're on with Lisa Durden on the Trex Radio Show on KGO. Good evening.
Hi, Lisa. I'm Lisa.
Hi, Lisa. not from the screener, but just to answer the question you asked earlier, I don't need to swap the races of what happened at Baton Rouge to feel the way you feel about it. Look, there's a million things that I could say about this, but I know everybody else has something to say, too, so I'll keep it short, slightly tangential. I imagine that Black America right now is feeling hurt and vulnerable and powerless, but there's something I want to remind you of, okay, and thank you for, and that is you saved us from President Romney, okay? So never doubt your power. You can get stuff done. And together we can fix this. Now, I think most of white America is, I mean, I literally puked when I saw the Minnesota tape last night. I saw it about 15, 20 minutes after it happened. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't the blood, because I've worked in medical situations before. It was that gun pointed at the window. Just a video.
Mm. And knowing that there's a four-year-old child behind him. Yes.
And you know, I think most of white America really is behind you and wants to protect you.
Absolutely.
We don't know what to do yet. We don't know what to do yet. We're figuring it out.
Well, we're trying.
Well, you know what? You're right.
And
thank
I said you. This earlier. No, I'm going to say this earlier. You do know what to do. You just did it. See, sometimes it takes validating somebody. It's like a relationship. The man gave an analogy before. I'm going to give another analogy. If you're married or dating someone and the person says in an argument, "You hurt my feelings." Don't become defensive and go, "No, I didn't." They just told you you did. So instead of becoming defensive, "I hurt your feelings. I apologize." What, in what way? So you're doing what you should be doing. You're coming on, you're getting on the call, and you're saying what you're saying, and you're saying, "What do we need to do?" And like she said, thank goodness most white people aren't racist. Because if they were, I wouldn't be here today.
All right.
I'd be picking cotton.
I got to take a break, and we'll be back with Lisa Durden. And also, Jason Greer is going to join in on the conversation. But first, with a look at the news situation that's happening in Dallas, we go to Lee Graham.
Well, I'm getting this right now from the Dallas Area Rapid Transit Twitter page. We've got BART, they've got DART. Four DART police officers were shot in downtown Dallas. One of those did not survive. The others suffered non-life-threatening injuries, and they have not given any IDs yet. No names, of course. And they said that the shooting started after a march took place. Otherwise, details are very, very scarce. That's the most we know at this point, is that it was four DART officers, one died.
The next generation of KGO 810. Now, back to the Drex Radio Show.
Drex Radio Show.
Okay, you're listening to the Drex Radio Show, live and local in the Bay, and as the sun sets all over the western United States and Canada, thank you for joining us. It's a sad day. We have just learned that 10 officers have been shot in Dallas. Three are dead. These are all protests over the Minnesota and Baton Rouge, Louisiana shootings. So all hell is breaking loose, and not in a good way. I'm going to do something that I haven't done for a long time. Lisa Durden is going to stay on the line. She's my political activist. And I also have Jason Greer on the phone. And Jason is, Jason, it sounds to me that you work in the same area of racial reconciliation based upon your experiences as a victim of cross burnings, racial harassment by the Ku Klux Klan, and so on and so forth. So I think I'm going to let the two of you have a conversation. And I'll start with you, Jason. Where do you see, what are your thoughts today after you saw what happened with Alton Sterling in Baton Rouge and also to the gentleman in Minnesota?
Great question. First, thanks for having me on your show. I'm heartbroken. I'm from St. Louis and I live near Ferguson. So when Michael Brown was unfortunately gunned down, I remember how hurt I was, how hurt the community was, and even the response to that. And the hope was, since we live in a civilized civilization, that we weren't going to see this, that we're going to learn from our mistakes. And it just, to me, arises. I mean, it just goes on all the way down the line. We have Alton Sterling, who unfortunately was murdered yesterday. Now we have the case of Mr. Castillo, who not only was shot, but there was a four-year-old girl in his backseat. At what point do we realize that this goes beyond just a simple coincidence? This is just, it's become systematic, and I'm heartbroken.
It hasn't just become systematic. We soon forget, and the brother said some wonderful things that I'm going to jar all of our memories. So, yes, these police officers didn't mind mortifying this young girl with guns at the window. But let's not forget they blew up some girls in a church. Let's not forget they blew up some kids and adults in the church. What was the name of the church a year or so ago? Nine people.
Let's not
in the 60s. Yeah. They blew up those girls in the church, in 1960-something, 50, whatever. They've been killing kids for years. So she got lucky. They didn't shoot her in the head. White people don't care about our children.
Well, there's a big difference here.
Let me say something to that point.
I completely agree with you, but let me say something to that point. She didn't get lucky. She just happened to have a cell phone. Let's be real. She happened to have Facebook live streaming this entire thing for the rest of the world to see. That was the game changer. Because for every incident that we hear about, whether it be Mr. Castillo, whether it be Mr. Sterling, and the after effect, there are so many other incidents that are happening around this country that you're never going to hear about. And at a certain point, at a certain point, let me just make this point. At a certain point, we need to stop casting blame on the victims. And we need to start paying attention to the forces that are completely out here victimizing the victims.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I see the pictures, you know, I'm not going to call him Alton Sterling. I'm going to call him Mr. Sterling. I'm not going to call him Philando Castile. I'm going to call him Mr. Castile because these are gentlemen. These are men. And when you look at the pictures that are now being, you know, paraded across social media, when you see the pictures that are being paraded across the news, they don't show these men with their kids. They don't show these men out doing something, you know, for the community.
Right.
They purposely show pictures at an angle in which is going to make you believe that these men are thugs.
They vilify them.
I've said this before.
Yeah.
They vilify them. I've said it before. I'm going to say it again. thug has become the clean version of the N-word. And I'm so tired of seeing young brothers characterized as though they're something that they're not. These are sons, these are fathers, these are friends, these are men who had hopes and dreams, and they're gone.
And let me just say this. On the opposite side of that, if there is a criminal out there committing a crime, irregardless of their race, you should, you know, let the punishment meet the crime. So I'm not thinking that there are no black men or women out there committing crimes. There are lots of people of all races committing crimes. So the job of the police officers are to make us innocent folks safe. So I'm not against when there is somebody committing a crime that you, you know, prevent if you can, or stop the crime. However, when you're talking about a routine traffic stop with a light out, that's not a criminal act. That's a routine traffic stop. Shoot a ticket and let the person keep going. You know, these are not criminal acts. Somebody's selling a CD or a DVD. Oh, my God, we're all – it's a bomb. You know, this is terrorism, selling CDs. Like, this is ridiculous. So, no, if there was somebody, no matter what the color, running down the street shooting at people, shoot the person in the back and kill them. Because I might get killed by the person trying to kill, you know, us. But there's none of that going on. So the punishment is not fitting the crime because there is no crime. You're just murdering people. You're just slaughtering people. So that's the issue. So I'm not trying to paint the picture that all blacks are innocent and we don't ever commit crimes, because people commit crimes. And that's why we have a prison system. But you don't get the right to shoot someone who has a legal gun on them, who told you they had a legal gun on them. You don't get to shoot them because they have a light out, a rear side light on their car out, and you did a routine traffic stop, and now they ended up dead.
I completely agree with you because it's one thing for you to tell me you have a gun. It's another thing for you to show me and to point that gun at me.
Absolutely.
And in both instances,
absolutely.
Last night, this morning, those two gentlemen were carrying guns, but there is no evidence to suggest that either gentleman pulled those guns out, that either gentleman put those officers' lives at risk. Now, granted, in the case of Mr. Sterling, there is not video. They don't have video footage of what happened before that led to the eventual taking him down and doing all the things that the officers did to him. But at no point has anyone ever come on and said this man held a gun to these police officers or to anybody.
But let's not even play that game, right? Let's not play that game about what happened before that. That sounds like a game you want to play in kindergarten. It matters a damn what happened before. It only matters how it ended. So at the point that he had subdued the guy is where they should have handcuffed him if he felt, quote-unquote, the need to take him in. So if the guy yelled at him before that or cursed him before that or if he pulled the gun out, he got him on the ground and now all is well in America, right? So you still can't keep going even if I pulled the gun out and you twisted my arm and took me to the ground. It's over, even if that had happened. Let's not play that kindergarten game of what happened before that we couldn't see. I can't stand people who try to incorporate something we haven't seen in something we're seeing. We didn't see it. We're going by what's in the video.
But you don't have a choice, though.
Yeah, so let me ask you, Jason.
I've got a choice.
Okay.
Not to consider that.
But here's what I'm going to say to you. I completely agree with your point, but I'm talking in the land of public opinion. When we talk about how this man has already been characterized as a thug, when we talk about the fact that Mr. Castillo has already been characterized as a thug, what people are automatically going to say, because I saw this exact same thing happen out here in Ferguson, people are automatically going to say he must have been doing something wrong.
People aren't going to say that racists are going to say that. They're not people. No, people are not going to say that because people would be mortified to see that. People called in and said that they were mortified. People, not animals and not monsters. Only racists, animals, and monsters would say that, not people.
All right, I'm going to take a break, and we are chatting with Lisa Durden and Jason Greer. We'll be right back, but first with a look at traffic, and it looks like the protesters are now shutting down 880 in Oakland. And out of Dallas, we now have 3 officers killed, 7 wounded, and we'll pick up on that story coming up on the Drex Radio Show on KGOA 10. With a look at traffic, here's Lee Graham.
Drex. Drex. on KGO 810.
Okay, we have breaking news, and we're going to get to this. It looks like protesters are shutting down parts of 880 over in Oakland, but it also seems that the police are getting them off the highway. So if you're stuck in traffic, that's what's going on. The police are doing the best that they can to clear up the situation. Meanwhile, I'm going to go live to CNN, and we will interrupt programming. And we have Neil Franklin with the Texas State Police speaking right now. Three officers have been killed. Seven have been wounded so far as the melee and the chaos continues. Let's listen to CNN.
There are going to be people in our society that are not going to want to wait for investigations to go forward and for the facts to come out and for officers to be disciplined, fired, or put in jail. They are going to take the law into their own hands and feel that they need to exact some sort of street justice.
I have to say, though, that it is not that. We don't know for sure if it is
It sure seems that way. I mean, I'm hoping that it wasn't, as Hugh was just saying, this is my greatest fear, too, with these two shootings. And listen, my condolences go out to both families of the men that were just killed in these two police-related incidents. It's a horrible thing to have to die as a result of interaction with the police. Yeah. But people, cooler heads need to prevail here.
Agreed.
On all sides.
So, I mean, I have to say that the fact that it did happen at a protest lends one to believe, you know, in the direction that you're saying. But we don't know that for sure. Who's saying there? Is that John or is that Neil?
No, but that's absolutely true. We don't have all the facts yet. These two have not been apprehended, and we hope that that occurs soon. But we don't know who they are. We don't know what their motives are. We don't know what their plan is. Yeah. So we unfortunately still have to wait, and we have to wait. And like I said before, people need to step up and step forward so that we can get our arms around us.
The governor of Texas releasing a statement tonight, Governor Abbott, saying, "Our thoughts and prayers are with the Dallas law enforcement community and the Dallas area rapid transit officers killed and injured this evening. I've spoken to Texas Department of Public Safety Director Steve McCraw, and have directed him to offer whatever assistance to the city of Dallas that needs at this time. In times like this, we must remember and empathize with the importance of uniting as Americans." Again, and that's coming from the governor of Texas, John Abbott there. So I want to bring in now, here is Andre Felix. He is hiding in the Crown Plaza in Dallas, Texas. So you're hiding in the hotel. What instructions have you been given, and are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Hey, basically what we've been told is that we can't leave, can't go anywhere. They're on lockdown. We also have some folks that we don't really even know. They heard the shots. They came running inside. They pushed everybody to the back or to the basement. And so now we're just sitting in a room. And as I mentioned earlier, we actually have a photo of what we believe is a potential suspect. The detectives are on their way up to speak with us and stuff now. And we've just been in the Crown Plaza for the last 2 or 3 hours. We were actually in the lobby. It was me and my mom were in the lobby when the shots rang out. Yeah. The security guard for the Crown Plaza came running inside and ordered everybody to the basement. And that's where we've been ever since. They just let us come up about an hour ago back to our rooms, and they locked everything down. And we just kind of been sitting here, told us to stay away from the windows and everything. So,
We're being told that a number of guests from different hotels as well have been told the same thing. So you're in the basement of the hotel, correct?
Well, they let us come back up to our rooms, but there's no movement. And so now I'm just kind of waiting on the Dallas detectives to come because we spoke to them. And so they're on their way up because we have, you know, some pictures. What happened was we were at the
protest. If you're just joining us, you're listening to a live broadcast of CNN. And the reason that I'm going to CNN is because coming out of Dallas tonight, a Black Lives Matter protest, three police officers have been killed and seven have been wounded. Let's go back to the broadcast.
And so we're all like, oh, I wonder why he has that weapon or... and I actually thought it was fake, but now with everything going on and, you know, knowing who the police is looking for, we really believe that this is the guy. So they're coming up now to speak with us and everything.
And you have pictures of that. Again, a lot of people are talking to me, and I think I call the governor John Abbott. It's Greg Abbott, pardon me. But again, there's a lot going on here. So Andre Felix is in the Crown Plaza Hotel, and he is, they were being kept in the basement. Now they're being allowed to go back up to their rooms. And Andre is telling us that he was in the crowd, saw someone with an AR-15, and that law enforcement is coming up to talk to him now because they believe that he may be someone who was involved in the shooting. So take us back to the time you were walking, you see this man, and then what happens, Andre?
Well, we started walking, we see the guy. My mom actually took the picture of the guy, and then he basically walked off. We didn't see him no more in the crowd. And so we walked in the protest for about an hour or so, and then after that, we come back to the room, and we were going to get something to eat and then go back out. Well, as we were sitting in the lobby, talking to one of the hotel workers, we just hear, you know, several shots ring out, like, directly in front of the hotel. And all of a sudden, we just seen the valet and security come running from inside, and they said everybody locked down.
Yeah.
We ended up, like I said, going to the basement, and we were down there. It was about 15 of us.
What does he look like? What did he look like?
Say that again, I'm sorry.
What did he look like?
He was a black guy. He looked like he might have been in his mid to a late.
Okay,
30s.
I'm going to interrupt once again. We have two snipers shot, 10 police officers. Three officers are deceased. Seven are wounded. You're listening to this story as it continues to break in Dallas. We will continue to monitor this, and we'll go back to CNN. Three officers killed, eight wounded again as the melee continues to unfold in the city of Dallas. There are protests going on 880 in Oakland, and the CHP is working to clear that traffic out. And we'll continue our conversation here with CNN as we're watching very closely here as the protesters are shutting down. It is I-80. Is it I-80? Do I have that right? Okay, very good. All right. 880. 880. Okay, so it looks like right now traffic is stopped in Oakland at I-80.
880.
I don't know why. Okay, I apologize. We've got a lot going on. Lots of breaking news. So if you're stuck in that traffic, hang loose. We're getting reports that the CHP is trying to clear this, and they're working on it. All right, we'll be back, and we're gonna take a brief. Should we take a break here? Okay, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back. You're listening to KGO. San Francisco, San Jose, Oakland. To KGO, San Francisco, San Jose, Oakland. We're joining now with CNN, the Dallas Police Department, having a news conference.
For the safety of our citizens. So please, let's come together right now as a city. Let's take some questions.
Chief, talk about the pictures you guys want put out. Who are these people you're looking for in the pictures? They handed a bunch of these out.
Right. We wanted to show a person of interest who witnesses at the scene say were involved in this shooting in some way. So this is a person of interest. As you can see, they're in camouflage, and they have a rifle strap slung with a rifle butt sticking up. And we